Hello, ladies of No BS. Good morning. I am Coach Lizzie, and here we are at our monthly Plan Your Way Down the Scale call. We got folks coming in. This is terrific. Send me a hello in the chat. Tell me where you're joining from. By the way, please remember to put your chat to everyone instead of just hosts and panelists. I made that mistake the other day. Hi. Like I said, I'm Coach Lizzie. We're here hosting the Plan Your Way Down the Scale call. We're wrapping up March, where our theme was journaling, and we are heading into April, where our theme is going to be cleaning up the triggers in your environment. I'm so excited for what's coming up in April, because not only do we have cleaning up the triggers in your environment, but then at the end of April, Corinne is hosting the nighttime eating workshop, which I don't think is happening at night, but it's about nighttime eating. And then all of May is about tackling nighttime eating. Who's excited for that, right? Give me an emoji if you are like, give me some info on how to tackle my nighttime eating. That would be great. Exactly. Wow, we got somebody from Spain. We got somebody from Miramar Beach, Arizona. Fantastic. Cheryl, Sherry, Ann, Kim, Angie, Kristen. Hello, welcome. We got a nice crowd this morning. This is fantastic. And yes, Beth, I would definitely say that afternoon eating, that kind of 4 to 6 switching hour window, absolutely, would apply. The same kind of concepts would apply. That nighttime eating happens for that kind of afternoon eating for sure. That's my struggle time as well. So this is a coaching call. What? A coaching call on a Monday? Yeah, let's do it. So if you want to get coached, I would love for you to raise your hand, and we'll all pull you on up and so forth. You can also type your questions into the Q&A. I'm here solo, so I'm kind of eyeballing the chat. But here we go. So who wants to lose weight in April? Anybody? Me? Yeah. Go ahead. Yeah, there we go. We got some emojis. They're like, yes, please. I'd like to lose weight in April. And so it's interesting. I was just on a Facebook Live with Coach Kathy earlier this morning, and one of the things that can come up when you're like, I want to lose weight this month, but I'm overwhelmed, or I'm just trying to do all the things and so forth. And I would actually say, if you've ever heard yourself say, like, I'm trying to do all the things, or I am doing all the things and I'm not losing weight, either way, I would suggest that the way to lose weight in April is to not focus on all the things. I would actually suggest that you focus on one thing that's actually going to move the needle. So, last month, when I hosted this call, I gave you a brief framework for how to figure out where to focus your attention in the next month to lose 1 pound over the month of April, to lose 4 pounds, 1 pound a week over the month of April, 5 pounds even. We'll see. But either way, I want you to make progress. And the way to make progress is to not necessarily focus on everything, because that leads to overwhelm. And when you feel overwhelmed, you want to quit. I don't want you to quit. I want you to feel like you're making tangible progress, you are taking action, and you are gaining some traction. And so that's why I want you to figure out what's getting in the way and how do I address it. So, are you ready for our little framework to help us out? Here we go. When you're focusing in on how am I going to lose weight in April, number one, I want you to ask yourself, what is the main obstacle getting in the way of my weight loss? And before you say, me, I'm the obstacle, nah, that is not an acceptable answer. I want you to make it like an action, a something that is getting in the way. For example, I'm not stopping at enough, or I overeat at dinner, or I overeat between 4 and 6 p.m. Or my calendar is super overscheduled. Therefore, by the end of the day, I am exhausted and I just eat all the things. Let's narrow it down to what is the obstacle, the main obstacle getting in the way of your weight loss. And if you're wondering, but wait, how do I know which one? Because I've got like seven. That's okay. Pick one. There is no right one. Like, again, if you only focused on one of these obstacles for the month of April, not all the things, just one of them, and you made some tangible progress on that one thing, would you lose weight in April? I think so. Either way, you would make progress, you would learn something, you would gain some traction. So step number one is to identify what's the main obstacle getting in the way of my weight loss. All right. We got a couple of answers here in the chat. We've got off-plan eating, not getting enough sleep for sure. We've got not eating when I'm hungry. So probably some grab-assing, emotional eating, snacking. Okay, this is great. This is so great because once you can, you can't fix a problem if you're not aware of it. So like once you surface what you know that you want to work on, then you have some, a direction. Like, okay, now I know what I want to focus on. Afternoon snacking when I'm bored. Alcohol. Okay, this is useful. Now we know where to focus our attention. Okay, step two, brainstorm a bunch of actions that could help you make progress on this one thing. And so here's a great opportunity for you to raise your hand and get coached. If you're like, I am struggling with emotional eating, raise your hand and get coached, and I can help you. We can talk about brainstorming a whole list of things that you could, try and experiment with and take action on during the month of April. So, like, here's an example. Somebody in the chat mentioned the eating when I'm not hungry is the main obstacle. And so let's brainstorm some ideas. If I tend to eat when I'm not hungry, so I'm kind of grab-assing throughout the day. That's what I'm guessing. You could have some mints handy that every time you want to go to the pantry, grab a mint first. That way you've got something in your mouth, so your mouth is busy, and you got this minty taste, which may not, blend super great with whatever snack you were going to have. So, gum can be an also alternative. So right there, you've got an action step. Another action step is you could put a sticky note by your pantry or your fridge with a pen or a pencil nearby, and you just do a slash mark every time you do a pantry drive-by. You may still end up eating, you may not, doesn't matter. You're just keeping track. That's an action because you're amping up your awareness. That's helpful. Another thing you can do is, have a sticky note that's like in front of the food or it's like on the food. It's like, why am I eating right now? Am I hungry? And then, you could also look for lots of different ways that you could put a little pause between the urge to eat and the acting on the urge. So like I tend to, eat when I'm bored. Okay, so I have this idea that I'm bored, I want to go eat. And so maybe I put a pause. That could be I scroll on my phone for 5 minutes. I tell Alexa to set a timer for 5 minutes and I do jumping jacks. I don't know. I could walk around the block. I could turn on a show. I could, if you're at the office, you could go down to someone's other cubicle and, just see if they're there. You don't even have to talk to them. You could just be like, I'm going to walk to the other cubicle and back. There's lots of different ways that you can kind of add in a pause. You could like, I'm going to have some tea. And after, if I'm still hungry after I have a glass of tea or a cup of tea, then I'll decide if I want to eat. All kinds of ideas. Alrighty. So step one was identify the obstacle. Step two is brainstorm lots of action steps, things you could try. These don't have to be perfect. They're just ideas. We're going to experiment with them. Note with step two, these action steps, I want you to make doing the action the win, not the outcome. So for example, with if eating before you're hungry is the main obstacle, the action of having a mint, the action of having some tea is the win. If you end up eating later, okay. Like we're putting in the practice of, trying to see what works. And so give yourself as many opportunities to feel like you're making progress and feeling like you're winning as possible. Because that feeling like you're winning and making progress is what fuels motivation. So a lot of us put our happiness on the other side of the goal weight. And we never get there because we don't feel like we're making progress along the way and we quit. If you want to not quit, you need to give yourself the chance to feel like you're making progress. And the way to make you feel like you're making progress is to make the action the win and let the outcome take care of itself. Okay, step three is go deeper. What's the story you're telling yourself about this obstacle? So in a minute, in the last example, I said like somebody said that I'm eating when I'm not hungry. So what's the story you tell yourself about eating when you're not hungry? I know for myself, I used to like the kids would come home from school and I'd give them a snack. It's 3 o'clock or so, they give them a snack. And so I would have a snack with them because like it looked good and why not? I was hungry. And then they kind of, aged out of that time frame and they would, also take care of snacks on their own. but I still found myself snacking. And so the story I was telling myself was, I'm supposed to snack at this time, or I want to snack at this time, or I deserve it. Anybody else ever told themselves I deserve it? That's one for sure. So what is the story you tell yourself about this obstacle? Let's say your obstacle is your calendar, like you're overly full and you're busy. And so the story may be, everyone else has demands on my time and I feel like I'm a victim to my calendar. Okay, that's useful to know because you can't change something if you're not aware of it. So surfacing that story can be really, really helpful. Step four is then pivot that story to something that serves you. So, for example, in my case, when I was saying that I would snack in the afternoons because it's what you do, because I think I'm hungry, because I deserve it. Then, now that I've surfaced that story, I can pivot it to ask, am I actually hungry or am I bored? Am I actually hungry or am I tired? I deserve it. Okay. I deserve a food for what exactly? For surviving the day? Okay, sure. But what else do I deserve? I also deserve to, take care of my body the way that it feels good. I also deserve to listen to my hunger cues. I deserve to feel good, and there are other things that can make me feel good in this moment other than food. Like if I want a break, I deserve to take a break. So let's say, again, using that example of like, let's say your calendar is the obstacle, and the story is like everyone has all these demands on my time, and I feel a little bit out of control with my calendar because there's so many different things. The story you can pivot to is, while sometimes it feels like I don't have a choice with these things on my calendar, I always have a choice. I may not like my options. It may be like go to this meeting or get fired. Those may be like two unpleasant options, but I'm still choosing. I'm choosing to go to the meeting because I'm choosing not to get fired. And so I am not the victim of this meeting. I am proactively choosing to go to this meeting, or I'm proactively choosing to pick up my kid from soccer practice. I am proactively choosing to go visit my mom at the nursing home because that's the kind of child I want to be. I'm not choosing out of guilt. I'm not choosing out of obligation. I'm choosing because it's who I want to be. I don't have to like it, but I don't have to tell myself a victim story either. So that's how you can pivot the story. And then step number five is practice. Our pivoted stories don't just magically stick with us and they're like, okay, done. I pivoted the story onto the next one. So step five is just practice, remembering your pivot, because your brain, just like we have habits of action, we have habits of thought as well. So your brain is very used to its old story. It's going to continue to offer you the old story. And so expect that. Don't be surprised when that old story keeps coming back. Don't tell yourself, I thought it was over this by now. Nope, that's not helpful. Be like, oh, I was expecting that old story to come along and now I'm pivoting it again. I am not the victim to my calendar. I'm choosing what I am saying yes to. All right. We got one question here in the Q&A. I would love to see some hands raised. Unless I'm missing somebody. I don't think we have any hands raised. So yeah, raise those hands so we can get some coaching going. And here we go. So Wendy says, what are the options for keeping motivation going from morning to evening or throughout the week or the month? Wendy, that is a terrific question. What are the options to keep motivation going? This is so fascinating that you asked this question today, too, because in my Goals Mastery class, our group coaching program, this is the week we're talking about motivation. And so it's on my mind. Motivation. I got a secret for you, y'all. You ready? Motivation is a mirage. Yeah. Motivation is a mirage. We think we need to feel motivated to follow through on our plans. We think like by the morning time, I was motivated, I was going to do the things. And by the evening, I was just too tired. First of all, yes, I agree. We are tired. That is real. But you don't have to be motivated to follow your plan. Just like Corinne says, you don't have to be motivated to change the cat litter. You don't have to be motivated to change a dirty diaper. You do it because you don't like the consequence of not doing it. And so when you tell yourself, I'm not motivated to follow my plan, that is a cop out. That is a disservice to you. Like, have a little more respect of yourself to be like, I want to change my plan because I want to feel kind of self-soothed with food right now. That's telling yourself the truth. And so be honest with yourself that, like, I want to change my plan because I want to soothe my emotions with food, rather than saying, I'm not motivated to keep to my plan, or I'm not motivated to follow through on my workout. Choose what you're doing instead. So instead of saying, I'm not motivated, tell yourself the truth and be like, I am choosing not to follow my plan because I'm soothing my emotions with food. Be honest with yourself. Another thing you can try is action. Motivation comes after action. Sometimes when you act as if, when you're like, I don't have to feel motivated, I just need to start, that can help you feel more motivated. So step number one for motivation is don't expect it. Like, don't rely on it. It's a myth. It's a mirage. Step number two for helping you with motivation is act anyway. Know that you will feel more motivated when you just start. Like laundry. The laundry can pile up and pile up, but once you get started, you can get going. Going for a walk. You'd be like, I should go for a walk. I should. As soon as you strap on your shoes and walk out the door, it's a lot easier to take the next step. Just act. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, that sucker. Countdown and lift off. And then other thoughts for motivation is tell yourself the truth about what to expect. Like, let's say you have planned a salad for lunch. If you like salad, great. If you don't like salad, but you like your reasons for planning lunch, then don't tell yourself, wow, I'm supposed to be excited about salad, but I'm not excited about salad. Like, be honest with yourself. What are you trying to expect? Like, nobody would try to say, I'm getting excited about changing someone's diaper. Like, that's not exciting. Nobody would try and like talk themselves into wanting that. They would just do it because they don't want the negative outcomes. So if you're trying to do something that is challenging for you, like maybe it's getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning and getting in some stretching or some journaling or something, if that's hard, okay. Sometimes we choose to do hard things. You don't necessarily have to say, and I'm gonna love every minute of it. Sometimes you're like, it's gonna suck, and that's okay. Like, tell yourself the truth about that. And then finally, my favorite solution to motivation, look for where you are making progress. That is literally the fuel that fuels your, like, imagine putting the nozzle into the car. The car says motivation on the outside, and the fuel that goes in is positive progress, is seeing my wins. That is what gasses up the tank of the motivation car. So seeing your wins is how you continue to help yourself feel motivated to keep going. All right. We do have some hands raised. Excellent. I'm super excited about that. So we're going to see if Angie wants to chat with me, and then we'll go from there. Like, Angie's coming on up. Maybe. Angie, I'm asking you to unmute and maybe share your screen. Hi,
Hi. You already answered my question. I love walking, but I'm just not doing it.
Angie. Okay,
So
tell me more.
you saying just do it. I've been with no BS for 6 years, lost 65 pounds, kept it off for 5 years, and I want to lose a little more weight just to get, it's been so long since I lost it that it's like it's no big deal now. It's like, but I should celebrate it kind of more times than not.
That was the step four to keep your motivation going. Yep.
Exactly. So since you already answered my question about walking, just do it. A few months ago, I played pickleball and I was in the finals and I lost. And I haven't picked up the pickleball racket and I don't know why. I'm just really just disappointed, sad. And how do I get past that because I love playing pickleball too. And I'm
Okay.
always getting invited, and it's like, nope, I don't want to do it anymore. But I do love it.
Okay. So, Angie, I do want to circle back to walking because it seems like there's an obstacle getting in the way. So, we're going to put that on the shelf for a minute and
Okay.
circle back. Pickleball. Okay. So, you're in the finals and you lost the finals. What's the story your brain is telling you about losing in the finals?
Oh, I should have won. I was much better than the other person. I just choked.
Okay.
And I'm
And
sad. I cry.
yeah.
Which is
What?
stupid because it's just a game.
Well, hold on. As soon as you say it's stupid, now you're judging yourself. So you're basically telling your brain you're wrong for having these feelings. So you're invalidating what you were feeling. So I'm guessing if you're playing pickleball and you're in the finals, you're probably a competitive person. You freaking want to win. But when you didn't, and you tell yourself you're stupid for being sad, you're telling yourself you're stupid for wanting to win.
Oh, wow. See, I knew you'd have the answers. So how do I rethink that or re put it into an action? Just do it?
Well, let's keep exploring. I don't know if there's more to this or not, but let's just see. What do you think your brain is making it mean that you lost in the finals?
I'm not good enough.
Oh, well, perhaps that's why
Which
you're not playing more pickleball.
is silly because the field was like 120 people and I was able to get to the final. So why am I saying I'm not good enough because I lost in the final? Is that just normal?
I think so there is certainly some normal, natural kind of meaning making that happens there, but it's pretty negative. And so it's useful to just as we're, talking about like identify the obstacle, once you can identify, oh, I'm making it mean I wasn't good enough. That's so good to know because now you can surface that and be like, is that true? Is that the story I want to keep telling myself?
Not really.
Okay.
It's not productive.
Okay. And so we can bust that story. And instead of saying, I lost in the finals and that means I'm not good enough, you could say, I lost in the finals and I gave it my all.
But I didn't. I just joked.
Okay. I lost in the finals and I choked. Even, Olympic athletes do that.
Doesn't feel good, but it's a better thought because I did choke. Being honest with myself.
Yes. And what we've done is we've shifted the feeling away from judgment and shame to disappointment. And while disappointment may not be great, it's a level up, it's a net positive from judgment and shame.
Wow. Okay. All right, I can. So the next invite I get for pickleball, I'll just say yes and get over it.
Well, let's just take it a little bit deeper. Why do you want to say yes?
Because I love the sport.
Okay. And so, what's
And
the story you want to tell yourself about I'm the kind of athlete who can have a disappointing outing, and then what do you do with it?
just keep going.
Why?
Because I shouldn't let a failure dictate what I do.
Okay. I would offer you that that demonstrates a character strength of resilience. Can you think of any athletes that you admire who perhaps had a difficult outing who bounced back?
Oh, yeah, a few tennis players.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of them, have babies and now they're coming back. So that's
Sure.
juggling how to do things. But oh, I didn't think of that. I didn't think of resilient.
And
Interesting.
so maybe the story you tell yourself is, all athletes have tough days. I'm the kind of athlete that can have a tough outing and bounce back and be resilient because I love the sport and I respect myself enough to keep showing up.
Awesome. I'm going to put that on a big sticky note
Amazing.
in all the mirrors that I have in the house so I see it
That's,
every day.
yeah, great.
Oh my God, thank you so much. You're the best.
Thank you. You're welcome. Is it okay if we circle back real quick to the walking?
Sure.
So you said I answered your question that the answer to walking is just do it.
Yeah.
Yes, and we kind of skipped number one, which is what's the obstacle getting in the way of you walking?
I'm always doing something else. Like, oh, I gotta do this. Oh, whoa, I should do this before I go walk. And by the time I realize it's, 3 o'clock in the afternoon and I don't feel like, well, I'm a morning person, so I have to get it done in the morning.
Okay. So the obstacle getting in the way of your walk is that you are prioritizing other things in front of it,
Yes.
which is maybe that's appropriate. I don't know.
Not really. It could wait. It could wait for 3 o'clock.
Okay. And so for you, if we were just like, and just to get a little clarity, when I was saying like motivation and sometimes it's just get into action, yes. But that's like more for motivation. If there's something that is getting keeping you stuck, it's really valuable to understand what's keeping you, what is the obstacle keeping you stuck? And then we can go to start taking action. So for you, the obstacle is I'm prioritizing other things. So do you want to address that and prioritize walking?
Oh, but I don't know what it is though. It's stupid stuff. It's like laundry. You go food shopping. It's just stupid stuff, and if they all that whole stuff can wait. It's it's not an emergency. Like it's
Okay.
not like I have to get it done in the morning.
Super. So step one, we've identified the obstacle. Step two, now we can brainstorm some action steps. Potentially an action step could be put an appointment in your calendar for, 9 a.m., 8:30 a.m., whatever it is, like walk. Another action step could be a reminder, a sticky note or on your phone, or tell Alexa to remind you at 8:30 every morning that, I want to prioritize walking over laundry.
Oh, I do Alexa a lot, and it's not for walking.
Sure.
Oh my God, that's an excellent idea.
Yeah. And so you could just have some things to help you remember that those other things you're doing are not actually as important to you as walking, that you do want to prioritize walking. And there may be a day where someone invited you to brunch or like you've got an appointment. Like there may be a legit reason sometime where you want to prioritize something else in front of walking, and you can like your reasons. So that was step two, was let's brainstorm some things. In the case of walking, it may not be deeper. There may not be like some story you're telling yourself. But hypothetically, there might be somebody who's like the deeper story. So that step three was what's the story you're telling yourself? Like people will see me and judge me for what I'm wearing. Like I put on weight and I don't like to go out and walk because people will see me. Or I once had a client who needed to use a walker and he felt embarrassed to go walk with his walker. And so we're like, okay, it's super useful to surface that story. Then you can pivot it towards something else. And so, in the case of if someone has gained weight and they feel embarrassed about people will look at me, you could say people will be thinking like, good for her getting out there. Same thing with the client I once had who had a walker. Like what I asked that client, if you saw somebody walking with a walker, what would you think of them? And he was like, I'd actually be really impressed. I'm like, okay. There's a pivot to your story. Anyway, what are your
Yeah,
thoughts?
before I lost all the 65 pounds, I had that thought, oh my God, I'm so fat, people are gonna think, look at that fat thing out there walking. But yet when I see a big person walking, I'm like, good for her, good for
Right?
them. And so I'm way past that. It's like sometimes I just wear my pajamas and go out and walk. I don't really care.
Yeah.
But I just gotta do it. So I gotta set an alarm and I gotta ask Alexa to remind me to walk at 9 o'clock.
Okay.
Thank
Will
you.
you try putting a post on Facebook and let us know
I
if you do?
will. I
Great.
will. I will. Because
Perfect.
everything you say on Thursdays on the master goals are spot on.
Great.
Spot on.
I'm so
Thank
glad.
you.
Thank you too. Thank you for
Good
raising your
Thursday.
hand. All right. See you then. Yeah, Angie is in my goals mastery class and she's in my Thursday cohort, which is so much fun. All right. We have some other raised hands. I get to speak to the one and only Karen effing Brint. I'm excited for this. Here we go.
Yeah, I'm laughing at that. As you can see, I am at work.
Well, hey, Karen, I'm so glad that you joined us at work today. For
Well,
everybody who's listening, I got a chance to see Karen in the gym at camp one time. It was awesome. So, anyway, so happy to see you today.
it was interesting because Robin and I both share the same story. I would go so far as to call it. I abuse coffee creamer.
Okay, tell me more.
Well, it says something like there's like a whole bunch of servings on the container, but I don't think they're right. So it's more like coffee, creamer with a little coffee. And I have a whole story about how much it means to me because my Dad, when I was little, would make coffee for me to sit with him, and it was milk and sugar with a hint of coffee. So I'm holding on to that story for dear life, and I'm like, no, I'm not giving it up. But I know, even though we don't count calories, I know how many extra wasted calories there are there that would be so better used on something that was good for my body. And I'm gotten away from using the sugar-free because my endocrinologist, she wants me to drink black coffee.
Just the body language was said it all.
It's a pot of sadness.
Okay. I'm just envisioning the pot of coffee with like a big sad face on it.
It is. I mean, when you order bottles of creamer in bulk for a week, you've got a problem.
All right. So, would you say that creamer in your coffee is either the main obstacle getting in the way of your weight loss or a significant obstacle that you are ready to work on?
Significant that I'm ready to work.
Okay. And I really want you to just tap in for a second. Is it something that you want to change given the story of nostalgia and perhaps love and comfort that you have with it with your dad? Is that something that you want to work on, or you're like, it's just it's the opposite of a low hanging fruit. It's a high hanging fruit.
No, my story only comes up when I'm trying to find a way to justify the usage of it.
Okay.
Because at first, even I was like, "Oh, I just did a bunch of creamer," and then I'm like, "Oh yeah, that's why."
Okay.
So it's a good story, but it's not a good excuse.
Okay. Alrighty.
And I'm
So.
saying that as I'm like, "I'm on my coffee." This is one of two. And I've already had a cup at home.
Okay. And so
And there's
let's.
probably a half a bottle of creamer between all of those.
Alrighty. Okay. So we've
Creamer and
identified
creamer anonymous.
we've identified the obstacle you want to work on, creamer in the coffee. Just for everybody, for the record, Karen's talking about like it is an obstacle. She wants to address it. We can totally roll with that. For the record, I would guess that if you eat past enough at dinner, that's probably something to address before the creamer and the coffee. That's going to make a bigger difference on your weight loss.
And I'm working on, of course, all that. But I'm equating now what my coffee is almost the equivalent of a small shake.
All right.
So in my mind, it's like,
Okay. So let's go on to step two. Let's brainstorm a whole bunch of different ideas that you could try and experiment with. We're not, handcuffing you to any of them. What are some ideas?
Well, I am trying to wean the amount that I use.
Okay.
I would like to get it to a place where I use a serving.
Okay, so there's a couple different ways we can change the amount of creamer. There's each cup of coffee has less creamer in it. There's fewer cups of coffee total. There's same number of cups of coffee, but after fill in the blank number with creamer, any cups after that have to be black. So there's lots of different ways we can sort of like.
Yeah, because like the idea I was thinking in my head, it's like, well, if I can't drink it with the creamer, I might as well have water.
Oh, wow. What an idea.
But then my next thought was, well, that sucks.
Water sucks.
No, to
There's a
give up my
story.
coffee for, I mean,
Again, there's a story.
it would be great if I substituted like water for half the coffee I drink during the day.
Okay. So one option is less creamer in every cup. One option is fewer cups total. One option is same number of cups, but fewer cups with creamer in it. Of those three, does one feel more doable than the others?
Right now, less creamer in all cups seems doable.
Okay, super.
At best, it's still going to be a challenge. I like the idea of one with and one without. And in my head, I know, well, I'm not going to drink the second.
And what's the problem with that?
Nothing.
No, there's a problem. There's some resistance in there.
Oh, yeah. It's not what I want.
Let's take this a level deeper. So we're going to skip to step three. A minute ago, you said, like, I could put less creamer in each cup. That feels more doable.
Yeah, that's okay. I
But
still don't like it, but
why? What does the creamer do for you?
oh God, my head just had made the coffee tolerable.
And
Okay, is it possible I don't really like coffee? I just like creamer?
everybody, give me a head exploding emoji. Come on. Right? You can see it. Her head is exploding. We have just rocked Karen Brent's world. She doesn't like coffee. We don't, maybe. We don't want to
I
quite.
like the sweet.
Okay.
Because I even tried like half and half, just putting some of that, because someone suggested that would take a little of the bitterness and make it a little more creamy. And I threw most of the coffee away. And what I did drink, I was very angry about.
Interesting. So when I say, what does the creamer do for you? It makes the coffee tolerable is such an interesting answer. You also said you like the sweet.
Am I hanging on to this just because it's the way my dad and I spend time together?
Maybe. Let's look at this a little bit more globally. If you're just looking for sweet, why coffee? Like, why not, I don't know, a soda, sweet tea?
Well, I don't like sweet tea, but.
Okay.
I don't know. I mean, I could have a diet soda in the morning. I'd probably only have one because the idea of, sucking on a 2 liter doesn't appeal to me. I don't know if I think that like coffee is the morning ritual or.
Let's do a little thought experiment. I want you to close your eyes for a second and really feel into this question. What does coffee with creamer help you feel?
Kind of a warm, cozy comfort.
Okay. So that's why you're hanging on to it. Because when there's a habit that is really sticky and we're having a hard time letting go of it, a lot of times that's because it's wrapped up in our lower brain with powerful emotions like love, comfort, and safety. You said comfort. It makes us warm and cozy and comforted. And if we layer in the story of dad, it's like dad's giving me a hug.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's like it is the comfort to start the day.
Right.
The routine of, okay, you get to do this before you go to work. And I think the fact that I have it with me all day at work when everybody knows I'd rather not be here. But as I keep telling myself every day, this is the last March 31st I will be here.
Okay. So it's possible that a slightly underneath the surface story, and I want you to tell me if this doesn't land, but it's possible that your brain is saying, like, my warm, cozy comfort of coffee is my reward for getting through the day because I don't want to be here.
Which would explain why, like on Saturday or Sunday, I don't even finish a pot.
Oh, interesting.
And when I tried it with just the half and half and it sucked, I didn't drink it and I obviously survived and I functioned.
Okay.
So it's not, I don't feel like it's the caffeine.
Okay. And so, in a similar way, when we were just talking with Angie, and we realized that, when she said, I was disappointed or frustrated, and that's it's stupid to feel that way. I'm like, no, you're judging yourself for your feelings. I don't want you to judge yourself for your feelings. Like, you're trying to help yourself get through a
Yeah.
situation at work that you don't want to be there, and the coffee is what's helping you get there. So that is understandable. We can totally acknowledge and validate that.
Yes, I completely agree with that. And I am completely comfortable with the idea of, okay, what can take the place of that?
Well, yes.
Or
And I want to offer you this question of is soothing yourself with a cozy reward for making it through the day, is that worth your weight loss?
I'd rather have the weight loss.
All right. And so when the part of Karen who's like, I just want my reward for making it through the day, I'm working hard, says, I want more coffee. What does the woman, the Karen that wants weight loss, say to that part of Karen?
She says, you know, all that extra creamer is not going to help you get to where you want to go. And the only way my container of coffee is going to make me feel any better about work as if I used it to whap everybody who annoys me, which would get me out of here faster.
Yep.
But as far, I mean, it doesn't, it's the same thing as any emotional eating. It doesn't fix anything. It doesn't stop anybody from coming in and asking me questions. The only reason people are leaving me alone now is because I locked my door.
Okay.
Maybe I should give up coffee and just lock my door.
Yeah, I was thinking, again, similar to Angie, that there's probably some character strengths that you already have that you can draw on, that the Karen who wants weight loss can remind the Karen who wants to feel cozy and rewarded for showing up to work that, like, hey, sweetie, you can handle this. You are resilient.
Yeah, because otherwise, instead of coffee creamer, I'd have alcohol in my coffee, and I don't do that.
Okay. Yeah. And you don't hit people over the head with your coffee mug when you want to. Yeah. Yeah. So you can expect cravings to happen. You can expect your brain to continue to offer yourself the idea that creamer with a side of coffee would be a great idea at 2 in the afternoon. And then you can also tap into the resilient Karen who wants weight loss, who's like, honey, that ain't gonna get you what you want.
Well, that's the thing. It isn't even through 2 o'clock. This will be gone by noon,
Okay.
the entire pot. So Yeah, like I say, if it wasn't such a high volume of creamer, I wouldn't think twice about it. But when a whole bottle is lasting a couple days, that it is the equivalent of like sucking down a vanilla shake every morning.
Okay. And so again, going back to the idea that what's this coffee giving you? It's giving you a sense of comfort. And there's time and place for that. What do you want to set yourself up for that, like, I am gonna love on my full creamer coffee first thing in the morning and get me to work, and the rest of the day, or I'm gonna have water, or like I'm gonna have one more when I'm at work, or it's like in case of emergency, or like how do you wanna set this up so that you're kind of compromising on your desires? One compromise.
I think since I know that once I do retire, this is not going to be the problem it is now, I am going to remind myself that the day I dance out the door, I would like to dance out with a smaller butt.
Okay.
So that I'll remind my the smaller and lighter I am, the faster I can go out the door.
And I think a fun action step you could try is like print out the little dancing woman emojis and like put it all over your office.
Yeah, because, well, I mean, I already have a coworker who's going to throw confetti at me.
And if you're lighter, you can dodge the confetti a little better.
Yeah, or I'll be able to climb on a library table and run screaming down it, leap off the end.
There you go.
I'm not going quietly.
We would expect nothing less.
Well, yeah. Okay, this is really, yeah, this has been helpful. And it's kind of funny because it seemed like something kind of silly I wanted to just brush aside, like, oh, it's but it is.
Yeah.
It's something that I concrete that I know is, it's just exactly the same as when people give up full sugar soda.
And that's why in the beginning of the call, I was like to everybody, don't tell me that you are the problem, or don't tell
Oh, I
me.
learned that. You told me that a few times.
Yes. Because, when you say, well, I'm the problem, that doesn't give you anywhere to go. But if, similarly, if you're saying, well, this is so silly, you're gaslighting yourself. You're saying, I should just be able to do this. And you're ignoring the fact that there is an obstacle. We just don't know what it is.
Yeah, because
So,
otherwise I wouldn't be throwing a fit about it.
right. So if you can take it seriously and be like, there must be an obstacle here. I wonder what it is. In Angie's case, it was prioritization. In your case, it's this has a really deep meaning that my lower brain is attaching comfort and love and safety to it. So of course my brain doesn't want to give it up. But now that I see that story, I can now kind of rationalize with it and pivot to something that does serve me, which is I want to dance out of here with a smaller butt. All right.
Telling them they can kiss it. I mean, sorry.
You tell whatever you want. How's
This has
this
been
feel?
very helpful.
Awesome. Very cool. Well, thank you so
I will let you know how it goes.
much. I'm looking forward to hearing about
Okay, thank you.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Karen. All right. Take care. All right. Wonderful. Okay. I got a Q&A question, and then I'm going to pull K on up. So Caitlin says, I'm moving to an apartment on April 7th. I'd love some ideas to keep in mind as I set up my new environment, especially kitchen related, to keep my success going. First of all, speaking from a military spouse who moved 10 times in 14 years, know that moving is hard, and expect that, and expect it to take a while for you to feel settled. Expect it to take a while for you to feel in your routine. During the move process, I would suggest you identify two or three fast food type places and like, what is the healthiest or healthier thing I could get at this fast food place to make life easier for you? I would also suggest like some batch cooking that you can like if you've unpack your kitchen first so that you can then begin to have things to cook with. You will still not be motivated to cook. You will still not have the energy to cook. But if you can muster up like on a Sunday, I can like crock pot something and put some of it in single servings to have later that can help you kind of get through the move. And then in terms of setting up your environment to keep success going, here is I don't know if this is exactly going to be helpful while you're moving, but for everybody listening, one of the like simple but most impactful things that has changed my ability to choose a better best option first, single serving bags. So I will put chopped up vegetables, like I'll put all the vegetables on the counter, chop them all up at once. I got this big pile, and then I put them in single serving bags and put the single serving bags in the fridge. That way, if I'm like, ooh, I want chips or crackers, I'm like, yes, you can have that after the vegetables. And wouldn't you know, I don't want the chips after the vegetables. And now it's just become a habit. So single serving bags. Okay, Maria says, I don't walk or exercise and I prioritize family work, et cetera, but I do want to prioritize those. How can I get okay with not walking or exercising without feeling like I'm not doing the thing that I feel like I should do or need to do? Okay, interesting. So first, notice should is a judgment. So I think you're saying I should walk. I should exercise. So let's question that. Should you? Do you have to? Like, it's not one of the four basics. And so, if you are prioritizing family and work and so forth instead of exercise, maybe you like your reasons. The question is, do you want to exercise? Do you want to walk in addition to some of the other things that you prioritize? And so, in that case, if that is a true desire that you want to, then you can look at your priorities and say, what's a way that I can juggle my family and work needs with my desire, my want to walk, my want to exercise? And so, does that mean like, once a week I get up early, or I go for a walk during my lunch break, or I ask my partner to take care of the family or the kids for 5 minutes while I walk to the, mailbox and back? Those are the kinds of things that you can look at. Okay, we're gonna get Kay on up here and get one more coaching going. And take it from there. All right.
Hello, can you hear me?
I can
Oh,
hear you, but I
okay.
cannot
Okay.
see you. There we go.
Okay.
Hi, Kay.
Hi, how you doing? Hi.
Great. Do you prefer K or KB?
Okay, K's fine.
Terrific. Great to meet you. What's on your
All
mind
right, good
today?
to meet you. I wanted to get coached on emotional eating and going through the steps you identified. Like, I identified that as probably my biggest impediment. But for steps two through four, I know how to practice, but two, three, and four, I've looked at it, I thought about it, and I'm just at complete blanks.
Awesome. I'm so
I
glad you
guess
brought
this
this
is
up.
like my iceberg of sorts. So I
Okay.
just, yeah.
So let's see if we can get a little bit more specific with emotional eating, because emotional eating can be a pretty big topic. So, what patterns do you notice around emotional eating?
If I have something that's emotionally charged or like an emotionally charged situation, I'll go to something to eat to make me feel better.
Okay.
Like, for example, this weekend, it was, my nephew was visiting with his girlfriend, and they were supposed to come over. We were just gonna, have dinner and just chit chat, talk, catch up. Because he's an adult, he's 28. But what happened instead, Friday night we get a call and he's, been stopped by the police, both he and his girlfriend, while they were trying to drive to their hotel for that night. And they both had their licenses suspended, so the car was impounded. And then all of a sudden we've got, he's not from the area, so we've got to switch and try to figure out, it's his car and he created the situation, but it was just stressful, because he's like some, he's come with us during summers, and so we had to, work with him to, get his car out of the impound, figure out what happened to his license, try to get it, together. And that day, that Friday, or I think that Friday afternoon, I had bought like, some cookies, like dough cookies, cookie doughs. And usually I'll maybe have one or two on a weekend, and that's good enough. That's it. But Saturday, while you know, my husband was trying to get things together and I was getting the house together, I ate half of it, like half the thing. And it was just like one at a time, like one, do something else, do that, go back and forth. And on Sunday, when I looked at the damage that I did, I was like, what were you doing? It was almost like, I know it was because of the emotions of trying to get, of dealing with the unexpected situation. And I've been doing that a lot more, like in my job, they announced layoffs. So, you know, there's this constant fear every other Friday that you're going to get your layoff notice. So that's been pretty much 2 months. But I think this weekend when I looked at the evidence of what had happened, and I was like, well, wait a second, I ate half the package in like a day. That's just crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's kind of an example of it. Something happened and I used the food to calm myself down.
Okay. So those are legit things. And it's sometimes it's really helpful to acknowledge that, hey, I'm feeling something hard right now and I don't want to. And so you can see that your brain is turning to food to help you handle some big feelings, because you've got worry, concern, you know, fear, those kinds of things going on. So we've identified, number one, what's the main obstacle getting in the way, is that when I have big feelings, I eat. So emotional eating. Step two was, let's brainstorm a bunch of different ideas. So there's lots of different actions you could play with and experiment with to help you with the obstacle of emotional eating. Are you ready for me to offer you a few?
Yeah, as long as they're quick and give a dopamine hit. That's what I'm getting out of it. It's something quick and a dopamine hit.
True. So I hear what you're saying. Like, at least I think you're saying, like, please don't tell me to journal, because I'm not going to sit down and journal when I'm worried about my nephew whose car just got impounded. Is that kind of what you're telling me?
I would like to be the person that does that. The likelihood of doing that, I need a small step to get to that point, perhaps. Maybe that would be better. Some small step to get. I'd prefer to do that or find some other healthy way to get it out and address it. I tried journaling. I was like at the beginning of March all in on doing journaling every day. And I did it 5 times.
That's still something.
It's just a block that I have.
So here's something I want to kind of share with you. So in our brain, we've got kind of three layers, and the most highest level is sort of our monkey brain. That's our prefrontal cortex. A little bit lower is our mammalian brain. It's often referred to as like a Labrador, which is where our emotions are. If you think of like a Labrador retriever, is like, you know, just show me love. And the very lowest is the lizard brain, the reptile brain, which is like safety, safety, safety. And so when you're feeling big emotions like fear, like worry, anxiety, your monkey brain is offline. Even your Labrador mammalian brain is kind of offline, and you're in that reptilian lizard brain, which is like safety first. And so 80% of your nervous system is below your neck. And it's like, I want to feel safe. Food is what's going to make me feel safe. So what you can do in that moment, and you can even do this proactively when you're not feeling dysregulated, but you can do any of those mind-body tools that Coach Kathy talks about in her How to Feel the Hard Stuff Without Eating calls. And learning that nervous system stuff of the brain is the thing that helped me realize that those mind-body tools aren't just like nice and foo-foo and things that they do at the spa. It's like, oh no, these things literally help me lose weight, because my thinking brain, I don't have access to it right now, because the lizard brain has hijacked my body. And it's like, we're going to prioritize safety over thinking every day of the week. So journaling in that moment isn't going to work because you don't really have access to your monkey brain. So you want to talk to that lizard brain part and be like, how are we going to feel safe? So that can be like hand on your heart. That can be some breathing exercises. And so, like, if you're on a Sunday and you're worried about your nephew and you're like, I want to go for that cookie dough, one action step could be, I'm going to do five nice big deep breaths before I have the cookie dough. You may still end up going for the food, but that's putting